Hi, I am Dr. Alice Benton.
And I'm Dr. Jacqueline Mack-Harris, Dr. Jackie.
And we want to talk about combative conversations that we know are so prevalent in this day and age and very likely on the rise in the future. They're intimidating, they're scary, and if you're the recipient of harshness in a relationship, especially chronically, it can be so difficult to know how to manage it, and as a Christian woman in particular, how to respond to a combative person in your life.
Yeah, and we've been chatting, and we have some differences in how we show up in these situations. I grew up in South Central LA, as I've shared before, and so my fight-flight-freeze instinct is stuck on fight. And so my instinct is to fight back verbally or physically when I'm in a confrontation or in a really combative conversation. And so in my healing process, I learned how to change what had been a great coping mechanism up until I became a therapist and learned that it was called disassociation and it wasn't really helpful in relationship to hit the mute button. But that's just what I always did. Rather than throw punches or verbally assault a person back, I learned to just hit the mute button because that's what I had to do with authority. If my mom did and said things that were harsh, I couldn't fight her. I had to just shut down. And so I learned to shut down and hit the mute button so I'm not taking it in. So I don't even really hear what you say. I just see the tone and feel all the energy. And, you know, do that with school principal or law enforcement or even my husband. Once I got married, I just learned to hit the mute button. And I was really proud of that mute button because it kept me from fighting people. Mm-hmm. But it also kept me from feeling what was happening.
And I admire fighters from a distance because I don't have much fight in me. I'm from Minnesota Nice, where we act like we're just fine with everything. You can be mean to me and I'll just smile my way through it and try to please you out of your anger. So it was quite a shock to me to learn about boundaries and to learn that we can and should take a stance against combative conversations, combative verbal treatment, but that there is a holy way to go about doing it.
Yeah. I like the phrase that you mentioned, that we could be quiet and not mute, or we could be kind. And I think what I would do wasn't kind, and it really wasn't quiet because inside there was a bunch of turmoil. I'm angry. I'm just holding myself back. But when I work from this healthier place, I am thoughtful about what the person is saying. So I had to learn to be present in those difficult conversations to hear what was being said and so that I could respond in a way that made me feel heard, but that made the other person feel heard and understood as well. And it doesn't always go well. It's not always easy. Doesn't mean that the conflict goes my way. But I've learned that because I stay engaged in the conversation, I'm actually learning what this is about. And when I would hit the mute button and just shut down, I miss most of it. There's so much I don't remember about my life before recovery because I was tuned out to it. And so now I'm tuned in. And even though it's a difficult conversation, now we can do some repair work. We can actually overcome whatever this is. Mm-hmm. Everything's figure outable. Mm-hmm. I just have to have my body be able to stay engaged and realize that I'm not unsafe. And there are some ways we can learn to do that.
And we don't have to tolerate our own unhealthy patterns. We can change the way that we've generally responded to big people in our lives. But we can also require better from the people that we let into our circle. So for me to realize, I can tell other people, if you want to be in my life, I'm going to need you to be kind. And if you can't be kind, then I'm going to need you to be quiet. Now, that doesn't mean I can make people do that because they still may be their big self in conversation. But then I can decide, do I want to stay in this situation or in this relationship or as close to this person as I am, because I do have some power to protect myself from edgy, mean, combative, harsh conversation styles.
Yeah. And what I've learned is I can set the boundary. And because I can set the boundary, it, and I know I have agency to do that, that's what gives me permission to be able to stay and be curious in the conversation, because I don't have to tolerate this. I get to choose to hear this or not hear this. And so when I turn my heart and I start to be curious about the person, and this is something I've learned to do as a therapist. I wish I was able to take credit for learning it some other way, but I had to really study how to do this so that I could show up for my clients. And man, has it paid off in all my other relationships. But I can turn off the part of me that wants to run and hide from the pain of what's being shared with me and stand and stay in it with the person, because I'm doing it from a place of empathy. So I still have to talk myself through it. I might have to tell myself, this isn't about you. This isn't a threat to you. Mm-hmm. This isn't an attack on you. What is this person sharing and why are they sharing it? And oftentimes I find that when people are sharing angry sentiments, we start to feel attacked and threatened because they're sharing with us their emotion. I use an analogy of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so if Alice had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and she shared it with me, now I have peanut butter and jelly too. Well, if it was anger and frustration instead of peanut butter and jelly, I still now have half. But like you said about boundaries, I get to choose if I eat that or not.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you gave me half of your peanut butter and jelly sandwich doesn't mean I want to eat peanut butter and jelly. But now that I know, oh, this is Alice's anger and frustration, not mine, now I can be present and be with you instead of feel like I'm under attack and under threat from you.
And the people in our lives, many of them that are decent, they will receive our boundary and they might just simply change at our request. Would you please be quiet or kind around me? And if they won't respond, then we can decide, then I'm going to step out of the conversation. I'm going to step out of the room. Eventually, I might have to leave the home or even the relationship if you will not choose to get better at this and to get the help to moderate your tone of voice better. And it is risky to set this up. And you and I both have experienced relationships where the other person said, I'm not going to change for you. I don't want to.
Yeah.
All right. That's difficult to accept. But then we have the power and the right to decide, well, then I'm probably going to need to distance myself from you.
And I've experienced that with friendships where just the ways in which sometimes we talk to each other, even as supposed friends, is unkind. And you get to say, no, thank you. That's not okay with me. I don't appreciate being talked to that way. And as Alice said, you know, like if they're not going to make that change, then I get to choose for myself what's okay and what's not okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think boundaries are bad. People have, you know, learned, especially the pleasers in the world, that boundaries are mean, right? You want to be a good person. You want to be kind, but boundaries set limits. And the fact is, boundaries are probably the most loving way you can show up in a relationship, because it's just saying what's okay and what's not okay. And when you're not boundaried, you're letting people do things that aren't okay with you. And I would imagine that you build resentment that way.
I certainly have had a stockpile of resentment with my people-pleasing smile on my face, acting like I'm fine with whatever I'm tolerating. But bitterness and resentment is inevitable over time if we don't speak up for ourselves and speak truth about what we're feeling. The Bible tells us, Proverbs 19:19, that an angry man must pay the penalty. Otherwise, he will continue in his angry path. And this is the beauty of boundaries, that not only does it protect the person setting the boundary, but it has the likelihood of drawing better out of the person with whom we're setting the boundary. So sometimes we have to allow consequences or enact consequences if that person in our relationship is not willing to change just at our request. And there we can restrict access to privileges in the relationship. And often that motivates a stubborn person to change. So it might be in a parent-child relationship where I tell my children, if you can't be quiet or kind, then you're going to lose access to something that they want, often screen time, a dessert, playtime, or even access to me, that I'm going to withdraw from you. I won't be able to talk with you unless you apologize and are willing to be respectful to me. And other times, that privilege might be in a marriage relationship, perhaps. I'm willing to be emotionally intimate with someone who's becoming safe or is safe. I'm even willing to be sexually intimate with my husband if he's a safe man. But otherwise, I'm going to protect my body and withdraw myself. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not mistreated by someone in relationship.
And as the person receiving the boundary, I think we have to take a step back and take a look at ourselves and know the person we're sharing, we have this big thing we need to tell them or share with them, and we're into whatever our feelings are. But this is a whole other person in front of us. And one of the things I think it's important for us to stretch ourselves, and if we're not good at this already, is taking in the other's perspective. And so if someone shares with you, hey, like that tone of voice really hurts me. And I believe tone of voice is the sound emotion makes. And so that tone is telling you something. But even if I'm trying to get a point across and I'm adamant about getting this point across, if my partner, my friend, my child, my colleague, my coworker, employee, whoever it is, says to me, ouch, that hurts, I have to take a step back and look at that. I have to hear what they are saying. And that is hard to do because I'm in my feelings and I want to be heard. But just as much as I want to be heard, I have to recognize that that other being in that space with me is a human as well. And they have something going on as well. And I might be the cause of it right now. And I need to hear what they're saying and try to be receptive when people are giving you feedback and asking for you to treat them with kindness. Sometimes I hear people say, but like, I'm a good person. You are. You're a good person, but right now you're yelling at me and I don't like it. So I'm gonna need you to stop so I can hear you, because really I just kind of shut down when that happens. Mm-hmm. And if someone shares something like that with you, honor their request and watch that relationship bloom.
We both know that what we're describing is much easier said than done, because we've had to practice to be able to actually do this in our own real lives. And so most of us need to start with a professional relationship or within a structured group setting to develop the voice to be able to say, I don't like this, and to ask for something different. Because many of us have learned we're not supposed to have those kinds of needs. That might not be Christian, that might not be generous to do. That's a selfish, mean thing to do, like you were saying before. And so I had to have many therapy sessions myself before I could actually do this with people in my own life. And even now, when I lay a boundary, when I say what I will and won't tolerate, sometimes I get shaky. My palms get sweaty and I'm afraid. I don't want to anger the people in my life. Yeah. And so it is still difficult for me to do this, but I've also had some successes and I've had a lot of support from my community to know that this is the good, right thing for me to do. And it is loving those people in my life well by asking better from them.
I agree, Alice. It really, you still feel it in your body. When I decide to stay focused, stay engaged, and to attune to a person who's trying to share something difficult with me, because even if I ask them to tone it down and they do, my body is still reacting. Remember, I'm the avoider. I want to run from all of this or fight it. And so I have to talk myself down. But what I do in between these occurrences is I am teaching myself to be aware of my emotions, how my emotions show up in my body, what causes certain emotions to show up in my body certain ways, and then what I need. And so after this conversation, this difficult conversation, I know how to go get my need met. I know what's going on for me. And because I'm studying me, I'm studying my emotions and my own emotional responses, when someone is sharing something hard with me and I'm having reactions, I know how to regulate it and I'm quicker on the draw. Mm-hmm. I much more quickly can settle myself down, settle my nervous system, and be able to tune back into what a person is saying than I could 15 years ago, because I practice it. Like you said, practice, practice, practice. And that means that God gives you opportunities to practice. And so that you might continue to have some difficult conversations rather than feel attacked and threatened by this. I see it as God hearing my desire to change my heart and desire to change the way I communicate with others and giving me opportunities to grow.
So we hope that this talk motivates and inspires you. We also hope it challenges you. And then we want to come alongside to assist you with this, because it will be a growth process. And you can connect with us at New Life. We can connect you with one of our intensives, with one of our coaches or counselors, because all of this can be practiced and learned.
Absolutely.
We'll be waiting for you right here at New Life.